All right, if you've got your Bibles this morning, Acts chapter 9, we're going to begin in verse 19, where we left off last time. Acts 9, verse 19. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for such a beautiful day. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to be gathered together in this place that you've given to us, Lord, that we might worship together, that we might sing praises to you, Lord, that we might just be reminded of your Spirit and your direction in our life. And Lord, I pray this morning as we open your word that you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds. And Lord, I pray that you would speak your words through me, Lord, today, that we might receive your message as your church. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Begin at verse number 19 of chapter 9. We see when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Kind of a hard spot to pick up in here as we think we have to go back to what we ended with last week. We see this man named Saul. If we go back just a few chapters in the book of Acts as we've been studying here in the last several weeks, we're reminded of this man named Saul. We see a little bit of a different picture of this man now in chapter 9 here. The very first part of chapter 9, as we read last time together, we see a true conversion experience, right, for this man named Saul as he's walking along the road on his path in the midst of his life, going about the things that, as we discussed last time, the religious theme that he had, the religious thoughts that he was on. In his mind, his heart, he had a desire to seek after those in the way the Scripture is written, of the way, those that were followers of Christ. Saul was after them, literally, for persecution, wanting to bring them back. He had permission to bring them back to Jerusalem, bound. We have to put all of that into our thoughts this morning as we continue on in these verses. What has happened up until this point, as we read last time together, that Saul had a conversion experience. Now, I wonder this morning, in your heart and your life, do you remember a conversion experience? Can you remember today in your own individual life a day and a time and a moment when maybe there was a spot in your life when you can say, I didn't know who Jesus is, and there was a day when you said, I needed to know Jesus. And you came to a relationship with Jesus Christ. For some of you, as you sit here, it may have been a long time. For some of you, it may be real fresh in your mind. Great opportunity for some of you. I got to be there when that happened for some of you. It's a joyous time when we get to fellowship together, when we get to be in relationship with each other and see a conversion experience. As Saul was walking down the road on his way to Damascus, as we read last time, he was converted. There were people with him. There were people that heard the voice of God. There was this situation in his life. And for Saul, he now is pushed into the city, into a home, into a place where another man was used of God in order to give him his sight. Is on the way to Damascus, he had lost his sight. This is where we pick up this morning in these verses that he had truly been converted and had lost his sight, then gained his sight because of the Holy Ghost. In verse number 19, when we picked up there, it says, after he had received some meat. So now we see 3 days, if you're reminded of what we read last time, he went 3 days without food. 3 days. Without the substance that we think of today is kind of important. Anybody been without food the last 3 days? Probably most of us don't do that very often, right? Saul had an experience. And his heart condition brought him to a place of humility before God. And we see that humility evidenced in this thing here in these verses that we pick up this morning. He received the meat and he was strengthened. He began to receive strength physically, and he received strength spiritually. It says, then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And we see now, because of his conversion experience on the road to Damascus, he is now brought into the city, and now he is in fellowship with the church. Man, what a great message for the church today, for us to see an opportunity for people to be converted, and then to see them join the church. To come into fellowship with the church. It's something that is very quickly disappearing in our society today. We have this trend that is happening that individuals today are coming to a place of acceptance of Jesus Christ, and then for whatever reason, we never see him again. We never see them get serious about their relationship with the Lord. But you think very specifically this morning in the context of these verses, it was very important for the life of Saul. Saul came into fellowship with the very people that he was going to capture. He came into fellowship with the people that he was on a mission to bring back to Jerusalem, to imprison, to persecute, to struggle. And he comes into this place in the midst of the disciples, and it's a great responsibility for the church today for us to put in our minds that this man, think about the context of Paul's life, as we call him Paul here later on, Saul's life. What happened? In his life, in just a matter of days, he came to a relationship with Jesus Christ, and now the church, as we think about it in the New Testament, received a born-again Christian into their fellowship. One that had truly been converted. One that was a murderer. One that was consenting to murder. One that was coming to attack the church. And they invited him into their fellowship. And I wonder today, do you think about that in the life of the church? If we today knew without a doubt in our mind that there was a murderer in our community and he had confessed his sin before Jesus Christ and he had come to right relationship with the Lord just 2-3 days ago, would we be excited about him sitting in the church pew next to you today? Would you be glad to know that there's a murderer sitting right next to you in this building? The church gives an example in the New Testament church. They were about serving Jesus Christ. They were about being obedient to the relationship that God had called him to be in. And I think it's evidenced in that verse because it tells us that he had fellowship with him. There were certain days he was with the disciples. It says in verse 20, and straightway, look, the very next thing, he preached Christ in the synagogues. I don't know about you, but that seems kind of odd, doesn't it? Murderer with permission to come and attack the church from the high priests. And he's on his way to the church to do this very thing. And in his experience now comes to right relationship with Jesus Christ. And now he's in fellowship with the church. And not only is he in fellowship with the church, but he's preaching what it means to know Jesus Christ in a matter of days. We say, you know, one of the conflicts that we have in the church today is that does not fit the mold of the church, right? That does not fit the pattern of the church. We're just discussing whether or not we would be comfortable this morning as a church with a murderer sitting here. Would you be comfortable with the murderer sitting in the church and then getting up and preaching about Jesus Christ? Man, that's against everything we believe, right? It's against everything we know. It's important for us to recognize that it was a movement of God in Saul's life that brought him to the place, and the church recognized the movement of God. And I wonder today, honestly, in the heart of the church, would we recognize the movement of Christ? If Jesus is moving in our midst, do you know that he's moving? Do you know that God is working in the hearts and the lives of people? The trend that we're seeing in church life today is to say that we're Christians and we're active about doing the things God has called us to do, but to limit what God can do and when he wants to do it. And I think there's a great message for the church in these verses that Saul came into fellowship with the disciples that were in Damascus. And he began immediately to preach about Jesus Christ. Now we see very specifically the most key important part of this is that he began to preach what? Jesus. He didn't preach his own will. He didn't preach his own plans. He didn't preach his thoughts. Or he didn't sit down and make a 10-point sermon and try to outline it all perfectly so that he had it all written out. He simply preached what he knew. He preached Jesus Christ. Why? Because he just come into fellowship with Jesus Christ. Because he just came into relationship and understanding. And it's important for us today in the church to get to a place in our heart where we have a desire to preach Jesus Christ. Where we have a desire to recognize that the simplest thing we could do for any one person in this world today that doesn't know Jesus Christ is to tell them about Jesus. And if you can say this morning as I began, I asked you that question, can you remember a day and a time when you had a conversion experience, when you came from a place of being a sinner to a place of being a forgiven sinner, then you have had the same experience that Saul had. And you have the same ability to preach the way that Saul preached. You have the same responsibility. Let's take it a little further than just that ability, but a responsibility. Because God has called for every individual that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior to be a preacher, whether you realize that or not. It does not mean you stand up here in a pulpit
and fill a pastoral position,
but it means that you're a preacher. There's a difference between preaching and pastoring, if you didn't know that. If you want to know more about that, let's talk.
We'll talk about those things. Every one of us today,
if you know Jesus as your Savior, has been called to preach. And we don't have to preach anything other than Jesus Christ, because that's what the world needs to hear. Today, in Fowler, Colorado, what the world in Fowler needs to hear is there's a God that loves them. And that evidence of His love is that they can know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In the very midst of His life, something has changed, a conversion experience, and straightway He preached Christ in the synagogues. And what did He preach? That He is the Son of God. He was preaching to the church. He was preaching to the religious leaders. He was preaching to the people on the street. It is about Jesus Christ. But all that heard Him, in verse 21 it says, were amazed and said, is not this He that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? Man, and here's the very first thought that comes from the church, right? Do you recognize? We see that Saul was teaching in the synagogue. And the synagogue, the place of worship. And the people that were in the synagogue began to hear him preach about Jesus Christ. And the very first thought in their mind is not, man, look how God has changed that man's life, right? No, it's like, isn't this the guy that was attacking us all? Isn't this the guy that was just after us? And isn't this the one that was literally destroying people? And now he's standing here calling on the name of Christ? And I don't know, for your thoughts this morning to come into realization that when God works and the Holy Spirit moves in people's lives, things change. And it's not about our human ability. It's not about our thoughts. It's about the Spirit working in our heart, and He changes lives. And the difficulty in the church today is we don't want to recognize when Jesus changes people's lives because it brings conviction to the heart of the church. And it's no different in the day of Saul. The people in the synagogue were convicted because they saw a man of sin confess his sin before Jesus Christ, get right in fellowship with him, and then start telling others about it. We've got to get to a place in the church today where we're not concerned about our image. We're not concerned about what other people think and what other people say, but about telling them about Jesus. And the church did the exact same thing here in the book of Acts as it does in the church today. Isn't this that guy? We begin to doubt that it's the movement of Jesus. And I want to challenge your heart this morning to come to a thought that you recognize if Jesus is moving in somebody's heart, we ought to celebrate it. If Jesus is working in the hearts of people in our church, if He's working in the hearts of the people in the community, we ought to get serious about it. We ought to get excited about it. And then we ought to go home and pray that God would help us in our hearts so that we're not so condemning of somebody that's getting something that we haven't got. And get to a place of recognizing if you haven't felt the Spirit moving in your life recently, it doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. It has everything to do with you and your relationship with Jesus Christ. And the church asked the same question that I think the church asks today when we see Jesus working. They asked that question because they were concerned. Isn't this the same person? We've heard him. We've seen him. Look, it says they were amazed. We ought to be amazed today in the church when Jesus moves. It ought to be so obvious to us, we ought to sit back in awe and wonder, is this him? Is this what's happening? What could have happened? When Jesus is moving, it's obvious. And it's not a worldly thing. It's not a man thing. That he might bring them bound unto the chief priest. It says in verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength, and he confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus. Proving what? That this is very Christ. What does it say? That Saul continued to grow. He continued to abound in his relationship with Jesus Christ. What's the desire of the church today? Do we have a desire in Solid Rock to grow in our relationship with Jesus? This morning, do you have a desire to grow deeper than where you were yesterday in your relationship with Christ? Is there a burden in your heart that says, I want to be somebody different tomorrow? I want to be somebody different a year from now? I want to be somebody different 10 years from now? The challenge in the church is not to come to this place of just being content with hanging out and seeing what God might do, but getting to a place of expecting that God wants to do something. And for Saul, in this very particular verse, it says he increased the more in strength. What does that mean? That he grew faithful to the Word of God. This is not a physical thing. It was a spiritual change in Saul's life that took him from this man of sin that he was to a forgiven man of sin that's still obedient to Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that he doesn't sin. We all sin. But it means that he grew. He had a desire to grow. What does that mean for the church today? Do you have a desire to grow in your life? When's the last time you picked up the Bible just to read it? just to get a little closer to Christ? Or did you have to remember that it was in the back seat of the car this morning when you got out here to bring it in? Did you have to look around for an hour at the house to try to find it before you came? You can't remember where you put it. There's a problem, right? When that's all the more it means for the church is that you got to bring your Bible so you can make sure I'm reading what's actually written, right? But you haven't read it all week long. Here's the trend. We talked about this in Only Springs on Friday night about how easy it is to have it on one of these things, right? Oh yeah, I've got my Bible with me everywhere. We don't go anywhere without these electronic leashes, right? We've got them everywhere we go. If you leave your phone at home, you turn around and go back. Doesn't matter if you're 10 miles away, right? You go home because you can't be without it. What if that was the desire of the church? Do you take your Bible with you when you go? You say, oh, well, it's on my phone. I can use it. When's the last time you looked at the Bible on your phone? Other than to scroll through your apps and think, oh, yeah, that's there. I forgot about it, right? Because nobody's got any apps on your phone you never look at, right? Oh, yeah, it's there when I need it. When do we need it? We need it today. We need it tomorrow. We need it every second of every day of our life. Saul began to grow and increase in his strength because he was serious about his relationship with Jesus Christ. No different than every other new Christian is. Right? That's what's exciting about people getting saved is they're on fire. They want to be serious about God. They want to be in church. They want to come to Sunday school. They want to come to, oh, by the way, we have church on Sunday nights. Oh, by the way, we have church on Wednesday nights. Oh, by the way, in Solid Rock, we have church on Friday nights too. Man, you guys are a bunch of crazy people. You're here all the time. We just remember. We don't just say it every Sunday on the announcements to have something to say. It's okay with me if I don't have to print out a slide that says what we're going to do. If it's automatic for you, you know it. It's more than just saying it. But coming to a place of true relationship, Saul increased because he was serious about Christ. And the synagogue, the church, the believers looked around and said, man, what's wrong with this guy? Something's different about him. And after that, he says in verse 23, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. Oh man, now we see something different. The man that's been after the church, the man that's been after these people of the way that know Jesus Christ is now being hunted himself. A space of time, a few days here, we see the Jews began to take counsel. That means they got together and they said, man, this guy's crazy. We don't need him around here. Right? And we say today in the life of the church, we'd never do that. If somebody got serious about Jesus, we'd want him to be here, right? But when we get somebody real serious about Christ, the trend in the church is, man, those people are crazy. They're a little different. We don't want to do that. You're a little off the wall. We don't go find another church somewhere else. We may not say that, but that's kind of what we think sometimes. You don't fit with our mold. You don't fit with our plan and the way we've been going along. Man, the church should be growing every single day in fellowship and strength and relationship with the Lord. Because there was growth in this man's life, the Jews got a little upset. But their laying wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Man, look at that. They took it a step further. They were watching him day and night to find an opportunity to kill this man. That's how serious he was about Jesus. That's how serious he was about teaching and preaching the truth. And I can't help but think that probably for most Christians today, we're nowhere close to that. I can guarantee you there's not been a day in my life that I could ever feel threatened because I was telling somebody about Jesus. I've never felt like somebody was going to kill me because I told him about Jesus Christ. Not once. It's an indication that it tells us a lot of things about the church today. We're comfortable. Why? Because we come to the church building, right? Those people don't come here. That's why we're so comfortable today. Paul wasn't just hanging out at the church. He was hanging out all over the place telling people about Jesus. It caused an uproar. It caused some problems. And I promise you today, if as the church we got serious about telling people their need for Jesus, it would cause some problems. Because nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to see it in the world. They don't care. That's why they don't come to church, right? Did you recognize that? There's church buildings all over the place. And people don't just walk in the door just out of the blue most of the time. Sometimes, yes. But it's pretty rare anymore. Because people know where they are, right? Even though we're on the dead-end street down here in Fowler, people know that this church is here. And they avoid it sometimes. They avoid other church buildings, right? Because it's a picture. Saul was out preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, living it. And it became such an issue for the Jews, the faithful Jews that were saying, you know what, we don't need to hear this anymore.
We don't want to know about this guy. He's causing an uproar. And you think about it from the religious standpoint, what was happening was Saul was preaching Jesus Christ. More people were getting saved. Because if you haven't realized lately, that's how the world works when we get serious about Jesus. When the church gets serious about telling people about Jesus Christ, people get saved. Plain and simple. The difficulty in the church today is we want people to walk through the doors of the church, then we tell them about Jesus. That's why we don't see church growth like we ought to today. We're serious about preaching the Word of God in these walls, but we're not so serious about it every day of the week when we're at work. We're not so serious about it when we're at the hamburger stand eating lunch or dinner with somebody. Right? It's an inspiration here. You think about the testimony we heard this morning about a place where you sit down and eat. And did you hear? Did you listen to what he said? Young kids were talking about the Bible. When's the last time you heard that when you were sitting in a hamburger stand? That's a movement of Jesus Christ. Our young kids don't talk about Jesus by mistake. They learn it from faithful servants. They hear it from faithful Christians willing to speak the Word of God. And because of young kids saying something about the Bible, a conversation was started and a man is running from God today. Promise is that God's going to get him one of these days. If he's thinking about it already, that means the Spirit's working. We ought to pray for that man today. Think about how God works in the hearts and lives of Christians. When we share the Word of God, something happens. When we live that, the disciples, it says in verse 25, they took Saul by night and they let him down by the wall in a basket. Can you imagine that? You imagine being in such a situation that the church says, Saul, we're glad you're here with the church, but you got to leave, man. They're after you. Couldn't you imagine as a church, Solid Rock and Fowler having to sneak somebody out of Fowler because people in the town were so upset about him preaching the Word of God? We had to sneak him out of town because they were after him. I don't know about you, but in my mind, it brings a little bit of shame to the idea of the church. Because what has been going on all this time? Why is it that one man's getting run out of town now? What's the church been doing all this time? If we haven't been doing what God's called us to do, this one man moved in. You think about what Saul was doing. He didn't live here. This wasn't where he was from. He was sent there, right? He doesn't know it until this point in time in his life, but he was sent there by God to come to the place of salvation. That was a movement of God in Saul's life. He went there with an intent to do something else. God had a different plan. That's how God works. But he came into a strange place, got serious about Jesus Christ, began to preach it in this strange place that he hadn't been. And it made some people mad. They got to get him out of town. It says in verse number 26, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now see what happened? They kick him out of Damascus. They send him in a basket, get him over the wall, sneak him back out of there. And where does he go? Right back to where he said he was going to go, right? You remember full circle? We started out in chapter 9. It says Saul got permission to bring these Christians back to Jerusalem, to persecute him, to destroy them. And now where does he end up? Back in Jerusalem. And he comes back to Jerusalem, the same place he started from, and he asks the church, hey, I want to come to church here. Would you let me? Right? Well, it hadn't been all that many days, Saul. You left here wanting to kill us all. Why in the world do you want to come in and be a part of the church? Right? Because they had no understanding of what happened, what took place on the road to Damascus in the man's life. But he comes into Jerusalem and it says he had a desire to join himself to the disciples. They were afraid. Of course they were afraid. Right? No different than we would be. Because we know if there's a guy coming into the church building that's here to attack us, we're not going to be comfortable with it. We're not going to want him here. But there was a desire in his heart. He wanted to be in fellowship with him. They didn't believe he was a disciple. I want you to look at verse 27. It's important. We meet this man named Barnabas, right? Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. What happened? That one faithful man in the church in Jerusalem actually talk to the stranger. That sound a little bit like the church today? Ever had a stranger walk in the church and nobody says a word? Oh, I don't know who those people are. I can guarantee you right now, there's some of you sitting in this room that don't know the names of every person here, right? We don't want to talk about that. I know you don't. But that's the case.
Why?
Well, they're new people. I just look around at them. I don't know them. I'm not comfortable with them. I'm not going to talk to them. Barnabas gets in conversation with Saul. And what happened when Barnabas got in conversation with Saul? Same thing that should happen with every believer. Saul gave his testimony. Saul told Barnabas, hey, I was on the road to Damascus, and guess what happened? Something happened. I got struck down on the ground. I lost my eyesight. I had to go on into Damascus. I met this other man, and he helped me to see, and he helped me to understand what it meant to know Jesus. And oh, by the way, I got baptized while I was there. All of those things are kind of important in a testimony, right? All that Saul did was come back to Jerusalem, share his testimony, and the man at the church listened. The disciple listened to the voice of this man, and he heard something, and he seen something. What did he see? A conversion experience. That ought to be obvious in the church today. If we share our conversion experience with people, then they're going to know who we are. Because of his testimony, Barnabas took him to the apostles, and he said, hey guys, this guy's real. This guy had it. You guys got to sit down and hear this. Can you imagine Saul getting to recount his testimony over and over and over to people? They sat down and Barnabas says, hey, come over here and listen to this guy named Saul. Before you get to worrying about him, before you're worrying about what he's going to do or how he's going to hurt the church, let's listen to his testimony. And it's a great message for the church today. Be willing to listen. Be willing to hear the conversation that is out there in our world today. Because whether you realize it or not, there's a great many Christians in this community that you may not even know about. Why? Because they're doing the same thing most of us do. They're never sharing their testimony anyways. They don't want to talk about it. Start a conversation about Christ. I tell you, yesterday afternoon in this place when we had 75, almost 80 people in here for a memorial service, there was a young kid in here that's in a freshman in high school from Walsenburg. You know what that kid did? For 3 hours I sat here and talked to that kid off and on, off and on, off and on. All he wanted to know was about this church. He walked around in this building. He asked me about everything we'd done, where we'd been, how we got here. What do you guys do? How do you do this? What do you do this? When do you do that? Why do you do that? And I'm sitting here out here on the porch just looking at him thinking, man, I wonder what's going on with this kid. He's asking question after question after question. So I finally get to ask him. I said, so you live in Walsenburg. Do you go to church in Walsenburg? Oh, yeah, we got a church. I said, well, tell me about it. Well, I don't know. I ain't been there in 6 months. But all that kid wanted to know was about this church in Fowler. Why? Because God was working in this place yesterday. It doesn't have nothing to do with this building. It doesn't have to do... He told me straight out, I don't like Fowler. He's a wrestler in Walsenburg. Why is he going to like Fowler? He doesn't like Fowler, no. But he sat here and talked to me over and over about what was going on in the church. Why? Because God was working in his heart. Why? Because he heard a message of Jesus Christ yesterday. Not because of something I said, but what Jesus said from his word in a few minutes. I promise you, I preached a lot less yesterday than I did today already. But Jesus worked. That boy went home yesterday, I guarantee you, thinking about his relationship with Jesus Christ. He was more curious about the silly building that's here and what happened. So you guys do this every Sunday? That's what he asked me. You guys come here every Sunday? I said, yeah, that's what church is about. You got to find it out. People want to know. The testimony of Christ will change lives if you're serious. That's what Saul was serious about. So Barnabas brings Saul in and he gives his testimony. And look what it says in verse 28. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. Again, we see a picture, right? The more boldly he spoke, the more the people wanted to attack him. The more specific he was about Christ, the more they wanted to go. Verse 30, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. So the church, the brethren again at Jerusalem said, okay, Saul, it's time for you to go on again, right? You can't stay here. It's important to know, where did he end up? You ever think about this man named Saul? We got to think about his description. Most of the time when we hear his name, it's in reference to Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus, Paul of Tarsus. Why? He got sent back home. He went full circle, went from place to place to place, searching, trying to find out what he could do to attack the church. He met Jesus along the way, and then where did God take him? All the way back home. Why? To be a witness. To be a light.
They sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And look what it says. And were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Look at the last part of that verse. And they were multiplied. Saul went about the things that God had called him to do. He preached the word of God. He went to a place, they kicked him out. They ran him out of town. He went to the next place. The church accepted him. They believed in him. He fellowshiped with them. He gave them opportunity. I want you to think about this for just a minute. There's something that Saul was doing as he was going on in his ministry. He was encouraging the church. Just small little glimpses. Even in the New Testament church, the church as we see it as an early start, what were they doing? They were starting to get fearful. They were starting to get comfortable. They were starting to get in the same condition that most churches in our country are today. Real lax, real comfortable with who we are and where we are, and that was the end of it. And Saul brought a little bit of revival, a little bit of renewing spirit to the church. Why? Because he went from place to place. Not necessarily because he wanted to. Every time we read it, just in this chapter, he wanted to stay in fellowship with the church, right? But it didn't work. God had a different plan for this man named Saul. At this moment, we see he moves on from place to place. And then because of his faithfulness and his preaching the word of God and sharing who Jesus was, it tells us there in verse 31 that the churches throughout all Judea and Galilee, they had rest. They came to fellowship. They came to encouragement together. And look what it says. They were edified. Man, what does the church in America need today? But edification. Building each other up. Encouraging each other. What do we need in Solid Rock, in Fowler? But edification. To come to the place in the church where we're here to edify and build each other up. We don't come here to attack each other. We don't come here to point the finger at each other. We don't come here to look across the room and say, I wonder who that person is, or I wonder who that person is. Wonder what they're thinking or what they're doing here. How come they're here? But we come to the place where we worship and fellowship together so we can encourage each other. So we can build each other up. That we can fellowship together. We don't dwell on the things that are all those negative things. We don't dwell on the things of this world. If we're focused on Jesus Christ, the church will be built up. The church will be edified. And that's what happened in the New Testament church because one man was faithful to share the truth of Jesus Christ. Now what, imagine if a church full of 50, 60, 70, 80, 100, 5,000 was faithful to preach and teach the word of God. One person at a time. I can't do anything about you, you can't do anything about me, but we can be faithful to Jesus ourselves. And we can be a church that's faithful and a light to the community we live in. Edification in the church. Walking in fear of the Lord is one of the other things that's lacking in church life today in America. We no longer fear our God. Do you recognize, when you think about the power of our God, you recognize today in your heart and your life this morning as we sit in this place that the God that we say lives in our life can call you home right now. At this very moment, it could be the last breath that you have and you could be spending the rest of this day in heaven with Jesus. Does that cause you to think about God? Cause you to think about a few other things in life? We get serious about fear of God. We recognize that He is God. He's in control of life, breath, and everything that we have and everything we know and everything we could think of. That's knowing the fear of God and walking in it. It says in this verse that the church walked in the fear of God. That's where the church ought to live today. We ought to live in reverent fear to God. Not that we get up in the morning and wonder, God, are you going to zap me dead today? No, you're going to get up in the morning and say, God, thank you for another day of life and breath. What can I do to honor you? What can I do to live in relationship with you today? What can I do to be the servant of God you called me to be? What if as in our hearts today in the life of the church, you rolled out of bed Monday morning, tomorrow morning, you got out of bed and said, Lord, who is it you want me to share Jesus with? Who is it that I can tell about you today? Help me to see it. Help me to know it. Give me the opportunity to encourage, to edify, walk in the fear of the Lord. Look what he says. And in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. That's a promise of the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe me, go over there and look. Read the scripture. We read it yesterday. God promised that the moment we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, He would bring a comforter. The Holy Spirit. When we need comfort in our life, any of you need comfort this morning? You need encouragement. You need strength. You need to know that there's a God that's bigger than all these things. You want to know what you're asking questions this morning, wondering what's happening in your life? True comfort comes from knowing Jesus Christ. and living in fellowship with Him every single day. This is a pattern that was happening in the church. Comfort of the Holy Ghost. And look what happened. All of these things were in place. Did you see that? They edified. They walked in fear of God. They encouraged each other. They were serious about their relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that lived in them. And what does it say? The church was more. Isn't that what the church wants to see today? Isn't that what we're always looking for? We want to see the church grow. We want to see the body of Christ grow. It's not about numbers in Fowler. It's not about filling this building to a brim and trying to figure out how we're going to get more space out here in the parking lot so other people can come. It's about multiplying lives in heaven. It's about getting people to a place of accepting Jesus so that we know when their time comes on this earth, they're going to end this life and go to eternity with Jesus. That's multiplication of the church. Church building, that's just secondary. That's just a place we come to worship. And God can take care of that. That ain't no big deal for God. We wake up tomorrow morning, all the money could be in the bank, we could build a building as big as we needed it to be out here. And it wouldn't matter. We could fill it up and have to wonder, what are we going to do next? It's about multiplying people's lives for Jesus Christ. Looking at the church. What if you woke up in the morning and you could honestly get out of your bed and you could look out the window of your front door and you could look around your neighborhood and know without a doubt that every person that lives within 100 square foot of your house is saved. And then you started next week, well, you know those people are, let's go out 200, let's go out 300, let's go, we can look down the street. Man, what if we looked down the street in every street in Fowler and there was a Pray for Fowler sign in every house because everybody in this community was serious about praying for each other and praying for the church to be multiplied. And then all of a sudden we don't have any places to put signs and we don't have any people that need Jesus, so we've got to go somewhere else, right? Can you imagine if the entire town, the entire community of Fowler was serious about Christ? Man, what an impact that would be. What a change it would be. The fact that they publicized we don't have any cops wouldn't be an issue, right? We wouldn't need them. It's not a big deal. We don't have to worry about it. People are focused on Jesus. We ain't worried about the cops. We think about how God works, and it starts with one person, one man, one woman, being faithful to make a commitment to Jesus Christ. If you've had a conversion experience this morning, are you living in it? Are you excited about your relationship with Jesus? If you've never given your heart to Jesus this morning, would you do it before you leave here? You can join the church in fellowship with Christ. Not be a part of a building and a name, but be a part of a family of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word and Your truth. Lord, I thank You for Your blessing that You bring to our hearts when we study Your Word. Lord, for the reminder that we see from this man named Saul. Lord, his commitment following his conversion experience. Lord, we know that the most important thing that we could have in this world is people that are converted and in right relationship with You. Lord, that have come to a place of understanding their sin and their failure and their weakness, and they've accepted that sin, Lord. They've accepted their weakness and they've confessed it before You. And they have a desire to be right with You. And Lord, when we're right with You in fellowship, when we accept the free gift of salvation that You've given to us through Jesus Christ, we can be the church You've called us to be. Lord, only You know every heart and every life in this place this morning. And I pray, Lord, that it is truly our desire that we would be obedient to You, whatever that looks like. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know You as their Savior, I pray You'd help them to come. When we begin this hymn of invitation, they'll walk down this aisle and they'll commit their heart and their life to You today. Lord, that they'll leave this place knowing that they have a relationship with You. Lord, maybe there's other decisions. Maybe we've accepted You as our Lord and our Savior, but we've never followed in the next steps of obedience that You've called us to. Lord, we see in the example of this man named Saul, his next step was getting baptized immediately. And then when he was baptized, he was committed to the church and he was obedient to share his testimony. Lord, those steps of obedience are what guide us. And I pray, Lord, You'd help us to be obedient to that today. Whatever Your will is in this place, maybe there's other things. Lord, maybe we've been right and we've been following in steps of obedience with You today in our lives, but we're struggling in one particular area. I pray that You'd help us to get right today. Lord, that we put down the burden of sin. We'd confess that before You so that we could be the servants You've called us to be. Lord, whatever Your will is in this place, I pray that Your Spirit would move and that we'd put aside the hesitation, we'd put aside the questions, we'd put aside all the excuses this morning and just be right with You. We thank You, Lord. We praise You. We ask these things in Your name. Amen. If you will, stand with me.
You're going to use a hymnal that's 320. Father, we thank you again for this beautiful day. We thank you for your presence in this place, Lord, for your spirit that moves and works in our hearts. I pray as we leave here this afternoon, Lord, that our minds and our hearts are focused upon you, that we would leave here in obedience and commitment to you, and Lord, that we would just be the light that you've called us to be in the community that we live in, the world that we work in. Lord, that it would be undeniable that there's a change in our life, and that change is Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would just guide us. Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.